Hello and welcome to the WordPress Chick podcast, brought to you by the WPChick.com. WordPress explained for those of us who get headaches when we hear words like PHP and functions, but want to make money with our WordPress sites. No boring code snippets here, just WordPress happiness made easy. Now here's your host, Kim Doyle, the WordPress Chick.
I'm totally sorry, you guys. I could not resist. That's my ringtone right now, anyways. I have a tendency to switch it up throughout the year. And actually, I don't even know why I buy ringtones, because I usually keep my phone on silent or on vibrate. But yeah, it just makes me happy. And maybe moving forward, I should check how long I can actually play stuff like that without getting into copyright infringement. Anyways, welcome to the podcast. Today, I've got a great interview for you. It's with Carrie Dills of CarrieDills.com. She builds WordPress sites, of course, using the fantastic Genesis framework. So you're going to have a ton of fun with this. I kid you not when I say that I had as much fun listening back and editing the podcast as I did recording it. You're going to love her. It was great. So I'm not going to keep rambling. Enjoy the interview. Again, it's Carrie Dills of CarrieDills.com. Hey everybody, what's up? Kim Doyle, the WordPress Chick here. Got another interview for you today, and I'm super excited about this. And the fun part of this today as well is this is the first time that Carrie and I have actually got to speak in person via, you know, non-Twitter or not online. So I'm really, really excited about this. And this is probably, I think, since I've started the podcast and doing interviews, you're really my first WordPress interview. So that's super fun. I mean, those are web or online business. So this is really fun. So today, guys, I've got Carrie Dills. I did pronounce your name right.
You got it.
Okay. I mean, there's not a lot to it, but you just never know, of CarrieDills.com. And I'm going to pass this over to her and let you tell us a little bit about yourself, Carrie. And you can get into the whole how you got into web design, but just sort of give us a little brief who you are and what you do first.
Sure. Well, for starters, Kim, I appreciate you inviting me on to the podcast. And I've been a fan of yours for a long time and have been eagerly awaiting each new edition of the podcast. So it's cool to get on here with you.
Thanks.
I am Carrie Dills. Like you said, I'm based out of Fort Worth, Texas, and have been here since, the early 90s, which kind of makes me feel old that I have a it's not even my hometown, but I've been here for 20 years. I've been doing web design for about 15 years, and I've had some career twists and turns along the way. But really, that's been my bread and butter for a long time. I love it.
So did you study web design, or did you study design in school, or what did you do before web design?
Oh, you're so sweet to think I'm young enough to have gone to college when they had web design. when I started in college, I was actually the only person on my hall that had a electric word processor. So I'm only in my late 30s, but I think for anybody in the 30 plus crowd, you know, it's just the technology and training and education was not the same then that it is now.
Yeah. Well, I'm older than you, so don't worry about that.
So anyways, I did not study it. I grew up in a house. My dad worked for computer companies and was a software engineer. So growing up, we always had access to computers, probably before the average bear, and just kind of fell in love with it. So when I graduated from college and had zero real life prospects, I already had kind of a hobby of web development and done a couple of sites in college, and landed my first gig doing a church website for the church that I grew up in. My dad said that he would help me out with my college bills for the summer, or excuse me, that first summer after college, if I did this website for my church.
Nice.
So that was my first client experience.
Now, and have you always done freelancing, or have you worked at a company?
Oh, I've done both. Kind of the pattern I've tended to follow is freelance, build a relationship with company hires me. I get, sounds terrible, but I get really bored working in a cubicle. So I quit and I freelance again, and the cycle just kind of continues. I've always had a little bit of the entrepreneurial spirit, and let's see, when was this? This was probably about 10 years ago. I took a trip to New York with a buddy, and we went to this coffee shop called Downtown Uptown, and they had indoor s'mores. Have you ever heard of that?
No, that sounds awesome, though.
The amazingness of s'mores, except it was, indoors. So they bring this flame to your table, and you can roast your marshmallows, and they had free Wi-Fi. And, of course, this was kind of before free Wi-Fi was just the expectation in public spaces.
Yeah.
They had live music going, and it was a coffee shop, but since they also served, beer and wine maybe, and I just loved it. And I thought, oh my gosh, I want to take this back to Fort Worth. There's nothing like this in Fort Worth. So I'm on my way, on our drive back from New York, I bought a couple of books on how to start and run an espresso cart, an espresso business. And I learned all I could about coffee shops. And it didn't take me very long until I figured out I know nothing about how to operate a business.
Yeah, that's usually learned the hard way.
So I came to this kind of drastic career conclusion. I was sitting, my paying job at the time was sitting in a cubicle, and I was just kind of miserable there. And I decided, well, I'm going to see what it takes. I want to learn how to operate a coffee business. So I up and quit my job, and took my little pile of savings and went to work for Starbucks as a entry level barista. That turned into almost 9-year career with them. And I know, listening to your podcast and hearing some of your stories in management and retail,
yeah.
I know you can probably relate, but in that period, I continued to do, I know this is sounding kind of like a random train, but I
know it's awesome.
Some web development, but really honed my, what I would call my business savvy during that period, learn how to run a business, learn how to read a profit and loss statement, manage inventory, manage employees, mm-hmm. All those things. And at the end of it, what I determined was there is no way, and I probably shouldn't cuss on your podcast, but there was no way in hell that I wanted to run my own coffee shop.
Yeah. Once you do it once, you're like, this is not how this just doesn't work. I'm working more.
Oh, absolutely not. It's a, it's tough to hang out your own shingle and open up yourself in a retail environment. And I just learned that was not for me. So along the way, I was, continuing to do some small web design projects here and there, but had largely been out of what I would call the learning curve, mm-hmm. of kind of staying on the edge of what was happening in the industry. And I was working with a guy at Starbucks who knew WordPress. And I had a project coming up and was debating with him, what technology should I use? I come from a background in Microsoft and .NET and that classic ASP that had been kind of where I'd lived in my previous web design career. I was talking to my friend Brian about it, and he was like, forget that, do WordPress. And he went on to kind of evangelize me in the ways of WordPress. And So that's, he started it. It's all Brian's fault.
We're grateful he did start it. So go ahead.
So yeah, that brings me to the present.
And then is it because once you started working with WordPress, is that when you decided to stick strictly with it, or do you do anything else? I thought you were 100% WordPress now, right?
Yes, I am absolutely 100% WordPress. The reason, there are so many reasons I love WordPress, but one of the main attractors when I was looking at it is to determine whether or not I was going to hang my hat with WordPress. It's cutting edge, like the code that's behind it, the technologies that are behind it. It's the latest and the greatest, so to speak. But there's the opportunity to not know any of that and still dive right in. So I don't have to know PHP backwards and forwards. I don't have to know HTML5 or CSS3, but I can still participate in all the cool functionality of WordPress. Then as I choose to grow, or, if somebody chooses to grow in the technology side, then you can really get into WordPress and do a lot of customizations and cool stuff. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. You can not know anything and enjoy the benefits, but the more you know, the more you can do with it.
Yeah, in a way, I look at WordPress like kind of leveled the playing field for different
people. Oh, absolutely.
And like you're saying, it's depending on where your strengths are. You can, you know, dive into PHP if you want, or maybe you want to stay on a marketing side of it. There's tons of opportunities for, you know, building a business with WordPress. So now, strictly with your WordPress business, so what challenges have you faced while growing this? As, you know, I think that, like, I'd say a lot of my listeners, I've got a lot of everyday users who use it for business, but I've got a lot of people that do web design, and, you know, everybody faces those struggles, whether it's proposals or pricing or invoicing or whatever. So what are some of your challenges that you've had growing your business?
Oh, goodness. On the broad spectrum, I would say just kind of settling on a direction. Like you said, I mean, WordPress is a platform. You can be involved in so many different ways, whether it's design or coding or marketing or SEO or content writing or whatnot. So kind of figuring out what my niche in this space or niche, excuse me.
I say niche too. That's all right.
I took a Twitter poll the other day and everybody else said, you know, niche as in rhymes with quiche. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just, you know, texting and can't help.
Totally funny. I'm like, yeah. I never would have thought of that. I just say niche. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. Somebody told me the only time it's appropriate to say niche is if you're an interior designer, like you got a little niche you could stick something in. But, I just totally derailed myself and your entire podcast.
This is the stuff that makes it fun. So it's all good.
What were we talking about? Oh yeah. So finding my niche was kind of, the first challenge. Secondly is just that initial learning curve. I mean, there is so much information, just an avalanche of information online, and trying to sort through that and figure out, first of all, what's good information. And secondly, trying to decipher. I remember when I first started working with WordPress, trying to understand where WordPress stopped and a theme began. And then working, you know, when I started working with the Genesis framework, trying to figure out, you know, what's Genesis versus what's WordPress and
what's a child theme?
Exactly. So just probably that learning curve has been one of my biggest challenges.
What about as far as structuring your business and clients, you know, because we're going to get into how you market your business has. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a big learning curve as well, you know, as far as pricing what you're worth. Do you price per hour, per pack? You know what I mean? Do you do packages, custom? What about that learning curve?
Well, Kim, it might be, every day might be different, a different answer on how I do pricing and structure. But basically, I do have an hourly rate. But, you know, when working with clients or bidding on projects, it makes people nervous if you say, well, here's my hourly rate, and it could take me anywhere from 30 to 60 hours. It's just so nebulous.
Yeah.
So I found that just kind of going flat fee pricing works for me on projects. And the longer I've been doing this, the more I figured out, you know, get as many details as you can up front. Try to understand the parameters of the project. And then protect yourself and your wording. I always write a proposal. I don't actually get people to sign things, which I'm sure once I get burned from there on out, I'll get people to sign contracts. But, you know, that initial document that kicks off the project, I'm always real careful to state that if there's work in there that ends up being outside the initial scope of what's in that document, then we're gonna price that out separately.
Yeah, I actually did a a la carte and what's not included that they have to sign.
Absolutely. I started, have you heard of BidSketch?
No.
It's, BidSketch.com. They have, it's kind of a proposal writing service for freelancers, and they've got different plans, and I don't remember what you get with the different plans, but basically they have, it's kind of building block proposals, where you can go in and say, okay, this is my requirements section. This is the company needs section. This is the solutions. This is the pricing. They have a terms and conditions and just sort of some boilerplate wording that if you're new at writing proposals, or even if you're not new at writing proposals, I found it to be a really useful tool for getting them written a little more quickly and looking a little bit more professional as opposed to, you know, here's my Carrie Dills Word document. Hire me.
Oh, that's funny. And for everybody listening, I'll look that up and put the link in the show notes as well. And I was going to tell you, and for the life of me, I can't think of the name, but you know, Adobe has a e-signature that you upload your PDF.
Ah, yes.
And emails, and you get like five, you can do five free. I did the paid for a while, but it's five a month. You can do free e-signatures. So.
Oh, cool.
And I will send that to you, and I will post the link when I find the name.
That's one of the cool, I know I'm sidebarring here, but one of the cool things just networking with other people online is to find out what tools they use as part of their business flow and workflow. And, you know, I live in my own little box, and especially when you're freelancing and don't have the benefit to, you know, learn from people, how people work in the office around you.
Exactly.
You know, being able to figure out what other people are doing is really invaluable. So anyways, side note.
No, yeah. It is, but those tools and stuff, that's why you look at, you know, what popular posts and stuff online, the top 10 tools, 7 reasons to use this. I mean, those do really well because people love those resources.
Yeah.
So that's great. So, okay. So let's start talking a little bit about marketing and how you market your business. And again, it's like my guess is it evolves and, you know, which is what I love about doing stuff online is I'm an organic person. I need stuff to flow to go with where I'm in the mood. I've got a structure to some extent, but don't ask me what I'm doing in August. I don't know.
So I have no idea what's happening in August, for myself either. I'm probably the world's worst. Actually, I'm not the world's worst because I've seen some commercials on the morning news that look pretty homegrown. but I'll be second in line for the worst. I don't really do it very well. I've never done any sort of paid advertising. Really, my name is my marketing. So I guess you could say I invest in building a good reputation for myself, and not by anything out of the way or concocted, but I'm a big believer in building good client relationships and good relationships in general. And I found that, you know, it's no big magic token or secret key. It's just that has served me very well in business to always treat people well, to be generous with my information, generous with referrals. And it's always come back to me. And so that's kind of my not great marketing approach.
You know, and I've talked about this a lot just in the last couple months, and you know, relationship building is something you hear all the time, and you have to, well, for me, it was like I really needed to feel it and say, okay, I'm ready to do this because what I've been doing isn't working. And it's not that I didn't care about the relationships, but in stepping back, I do a lot of tutorials and training on my site, but in terms of really reaching out and sharing other people's stuff is huge in connecting with people. You know, it's like I've connected with, you know, there's sort of this, are you familiar with the Third Tribe?
I'm only in the tiniest bit.
Okay. For those of you listening, and I was a member at one point, I'm not anymore, but the Third Tribe, it's Sonia Simone and Darren Rouse and Brian Clark, I believe. And the whole concept of the Third Tribe is, you know, they're not these purist bloggers or social media who just want to move the free line and just give it away. They're also not these evangelist internet marketers who have 52 page, you know, sales pages that you have to scroll to get a price. Mm-hmm. They're in between. So they provide value, but they market and they sell as well. And, you know, it's not the internet of 1995 where you can just hit people with sales. It truly is that relationship. So for what it's worth, in my humble opinion, that you're doing it so right from the get-go with that is I've gotten more response when I'm just being me. You know, I get way more appreciation and feedback, whether it's, you know, sharing a stupid ringtone or, you know, that's my two cents on that. But now, do you work a lot with local clients and do you market locally?
I work with a ton of local clients. It's interesting to kind of watch the discussion on Twitter about freelancers that prefer working. Actually, it seems like most of them prefer not working with local clients. You know, I don't know if they don't want to run into them in the grocery store or what, but I found that, you know, people like being able to sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk about their project. Now, as I don't know how scalable that model is, and I'm going to have a cup of coffee with every client that I have, but it works well for me to be very locally invested. Like I said, I've been in Fort Worth for about 20 years. I have another little sidebar that's going to go back into this local bit. Are you ready?
Knock your socks off.
Okay. Once upon a time, somewhere while I was still at Starbucks and before I had gone back to web development, freelancing full time, I decided I would start a greeting card company. And I researched the heck out of the paper industry and the greeting card and gift industry. And I launched a line called Giggle Snort Greetings. And
I love the name.
And the whole concept was to pair like a vintage photo with a witty caption. And during that process, I got involved with a group called Fort Worth for Women, and it was a network of female retail owners in Fort Worth. So I got involved with her organization, and my initial thought being, well, if I'm going to sell greeting cards, I need some retailers who are going to buy up these amazing cards of mine. And in the end, the greeting cards flopped. My mother was the only one that bought them.
God bless moms.
Yeah, God bless mom. My sister bought a few too. I appreciate them stockpiling for me. But the really tremendous thing that came out of that was I had established some really great relationships with all these women retailers here in Fort Worth. Turns out they did not need my greeting cards. But once they found out that I was a technical person, well, they all needed somebody to help with their website. So I kind of got this organic business from in a way that was completely unintended from this group of women that's been fantastic for just word of mouth business here in Fort Worth. So anyways, I know I'm kind of rambling, but
no,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's a great point to, you know, that you don't know what's going to come from some of those things. And I'm one of those that I do not like to work with local clients. And I don't know how many people in my town listen to this, but I'm thinking not a lot. It's just, and you know, when you would think, I don't know, you know, I'm only an hour east of San Francisco, but it's a very suburban community. And I think maybe just because my life is busy and I'm like, I don't want to go meet every week with you. And that's sort of where and maybe it's just what I'm putting out there, but a lot of people want that. And I don't have the time to go do weekly meetings, or why don't you come to the office once a week and we could do this? And I'm like, no, just, it doesn't work. So, you know, I do think it's just I think your involvement and you developed relationships, you know, so early on, and it really turned into something great. So I think my take on that is you don't know, you know, if you feel inclined to go to something networked and do it, something else could come from it. So, I think that's great.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm working for as many years as I did in customer service or in retail at Starbucks. You know, a lot of these people, I had served their coffee for years, and I knew their name and their, you know, how many sugars they liked in their latte. So I'm a people person anyways. So having an extension of that and wanting to meet with local clients works for me, but I completely understand that, you know, a lot of freelancers would be more comfortable without that face-to-face interaction. So that's kind of, you know, that's worked for me, but that's certainly to each their own.
You know, well, you know, what's funny is that I love the face-to-face, and people get all excited. And it's just the other thing that I've run into is that they don't understand the value you're giving them, and they think it costs too much. And you also hit a point where you know the value of your time. And so, you know what I mean? And
oh yeah.
it's just not been a worthwhile venture for me.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't think anyone in Brentwood listens to this. So.
Oh, I'm going to take out some ads.
I know, in the Brentwood, in the local press, right? Oh goodness. So in terms of a WordPress business, and this, I think actually my next podcast might be on monetizing WordPress, because like we discussed earlier, there are so many areas to get into with WordPress. And, you know, for a long time, I was like, well, God, I'm not a coder, I'm not a programmer, but I found a voice somewhere in this niche. And, you know, Do you have any suggestions or recommendations for somebody that wanted to get into using WordPress for a business model?
I think what we've already kind of talked about WordPress as a platform, not just a coding platform, but literally a platform where you can stand up and do anything. So you could have a WordPress business that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with WordPress itself. In other words, WordPress is the structure of your business. Or like you said, finding a voice in a specific niche, which now when I think of niche, I can't help but think of quiche. but I think my recommendation would be to be natural and find what fits for you. So, you know, I don't know if it comes with my golden age or what, but I found that I'm a jack of a million different trades. And I don't do any of them necessarily great, and I've been willing to do any of those million things for clients, whether it be I'll design your business cards, I'll design your logo, I'll go to the printer for you, I'll do your website, I'll do this trifold brochure. So I've done all these things in the spectrum of design and development and client services, but what I figured out is there's a lot of it I don't like. For instance, I'm terrible at designing logos. I can do it, but it's going to take me a lot of stress and staring at Photoshop and pulling my hair out. Like, that's not what comes naturally to me. So I think, you know, as you're looking at what kind of business you can build with WordPress, gravitate toward your strengths. You know, if you really want to get to working on your weaker points later, then do it. But when you're starting out, spend time focusing on your strengths and make that your niche.
That's such great advice. Because too many people, I think, when they're getting started, you know, it's like you find somebody or something that you resonate with. And so a lot of people sort of mimic because they're not quite sure. And I think there is this, you know, when you're getting started online, especially that, you know, you're nervous about getting that first blog post up or what are people going to think? And I'm sorry to people listening if this is redundant, but I love this line. I'm a huge Wayne Dyer fan, and he shared this one time, and he said, you know, at 18, you're worried about what everybody thinks. You know, at 30, you don't care what anybody thinks. And at 60, you realize nobody was thinking about you to begin with.
So true.
You know, and so it's one of those things. It's like we're all worried. Just, you know, we've all got those little fears and stuff. But yet really, every single time somebody steps up or, you know, when I share stuff that I would never have thought I would have shared, I just get thanks for being honest or thanks for being real and stuff. So I think it's just you got to start and get that traction. And like you said, be yourself and you know.
Absolutely. I love that. And
isn't
I think
that great?
You know, when in my early days of consulting, there was an horrible website design. There was this website called the BS Generator. And it took kind of like envision a slot machine where you hit the button and, you know, if you get three cherries in a row or whatnot, well, it would take three different consulting words and just string them together in a sentence, like value added referendums, or you know, it would be nonsensical, but it was just kind of, you know, literally what consultants would say in meetings with clients. And nobody wants to hear that. And I think you made the point earlier that we're not in the same internet age where you can just put up a sales pitch and club somebody over the head with it and trust them to buy. You really have to offer a value and build a relationship. And so I think the being honest part, like if something's not in your wheelhouse, step up and say it. I don't know. I always think like if I go to a restaurant and I've asked the waitress on the, you know, hey, what do you think about this on the menu? I'd much rather tell me that's the worst thing coming out of our kitchen right now than to tell me, oh yeah, a lot of people order that.
Yeah. Or even say, you know, it's okay, but I like this. If you like that, you're going to like this. And don't be afraid to give that additional suggestion.
Absolutely.
God, that's so funny. Yeah. You know, the whole online marketing space, it's interesting because as I've started doing this, I've only been doing this for 5 years, but when I started doing this, I got on Twitter and Facebook and it was pretty new at that time. And I go up and down, but I've been trying to be more consistent and engaging and reaching out to other people. And what I've noticed is just sort of that when I start seeing people that share marketing quotes or sort of regurgitated BS, I don't, there's no draw to me to comment or share or, you know, I'd rather them. One of the biggest things I got some comments on one time is I use a, anybody sitting at a computer all day, I use a heated neck wrap every now and then.
Okay.
Well, I usually put it in for about 2 minutes. Well, I put it in for 20. So, the whole friggin' house just smelled like this burnt neck wrap. And I had so many people, you know, I don't mind sharing my foibles. Or my, you know, like Letterman, stupid pet tricks, like stupid Kim tricks. I do that stuff. And it's just people go, God, I've done stuff like that too. You know, so it's that,
yes,
that reality that, yeah, I love to do what I'm doing and I'll share WordPress stuff or marketing stuff, but well, this is who I am.
Absolutely. You know, we're all human and you get 1,000 internet points for using the word foible.
You know, that's probably the first time I've said that out loud. as opposed to my totally every other 2 seconds child of the 80s, high school. So let's talk a little bit about the future and some of the things you're doing. Because like you said, you started doing some screencasting, which is awesome. I'm a huge fan. So what do you have on the horizon for your business?
In all seriousness, right now I'm trying to wipe off the rest of the projects that are still lingering from 2012. there's anytime, I don't know, maybe other people don't deal with this, but sometimes clients take a long time to respond and finish up projects. And so I've got a lot of balls and, oh, you know what? Strike the fact that I just said balls on your podcast. But there's a lot of balls in other people's courts and I'm waiting just for stuff to come back. And those are things that'll be a really big relief once I can just kind of be done with. Moving on and looking forward, I'm going to my very first WordCamp in Austin, Texas next month.
Nice.
Those are actually fun. Yeah, I'm super stoked about it. And actually, they're giving me a microphone, which I don't know whose terrible decision that was, but I'm getting more involved with local WordPress meetups. So I know that's not necessarily the future of my business, but that's kind of right now looking at ways that I can contribute in the WordPress community. I think it's intimidating, you know, that you have to be Nason or Mark Jakewith or somebody with this huge brain full of code to make a meaningful contribution. And I'm learning that's just not true. So I'm trying to find what are the ways that I can get involved and teach and coach others around me in WordPress. And the meetups and then WordCamp are just a little bit of a way to do that. And then as far as business goes, one of my goals for 2013 was to work with fewer clients, but on larger scale projects. Mm-hmm. So trying that on for size. I think one of the frustrating parts about smaller projects and smaller budget projects is you feel like you have to rush through that planning phase in order to meet budgets.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's such a disservice to, you know, the end goal of creating a great site for a company that is either selling for them or converting for whatever purpose that website initially serves. If you don't get the adequate time on that planning piece, it's not as likely to be successful. So moving forward, looking at these bigger projects where I can actually have the joy of, that sounds kind of nerdy, but it really is, like have the joy of consulting with a client and then being able to execute a website that really meets their requirements as opposed to just being an executor of websites, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. There's an education level for the client there.
Absolutely.
Right, so that you're talking with them and I'll take clients still where we just do the site, but I have a lot more fun working through, you know, here's how you want to optimize your content. And, you know, people don't read the web the way they read the written print, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, people want to see it, like break it up. It's not that. So I really like working with them and making sure they're understanding how to use the, not so much the SEO from the real world technical, but make sure your content is optimized or is your site converting? I like sort of the whole package of the marketing piece of it as well. So, and I think it doesn't matter what your business is. And even if you're not the one doing it, you have to understand that your website is just this, it's this vital piece and can do so much more than most clients. And I don't want to say most, but a lot of people don't understand that element.
Yeah. It's, it's not just a throw it online and see what sticks. I mean, it really, beyond that initial cost investment of putting a website online, if you treat it like a baby and actually feed it and take care of it, it can be a great source of bringing in new business or just even bringing in new potential customers.
Yeah, and I think it's that people expect you to have a website now. You know, I think most businesses do expect, even if you want a brochure site, and, you know, like I've got a dentist that just really wants a brochure site, and her business is flourishing anyways, and that's great. But I think it can do so much more. So what about, because I love doing all this stuff, like the information marketing, you've got a ton of knowledge. Is that something you'd want to step into?
I think it's oddly something I have fallen into. I don't know if I stepped into it on purpose, but I blogged for many, many years, just kind of slice of life blogging. And then that kind of fell the way of the dodo bird once Facebook came along. And, you know, not that you don't need a personal blog, but it kind of eliminated a lot of that personal blogging space for me. So now when I started up my blog again, it reorganized itself into a technical blog. And as I was learning WordPress and the Genesis framework, I'd find myself, if I needed to figure out how to do something, I'd figure it out. And then I'd write a post to share that with, you know, whoever might be Googling on how to do that. And it wasn't with the intention of building this army of people that wanted to know how to hook a widget someplace different. But I've found that I really love that. I've gotten such great feedback from people who say, oh God, you saved me time, or totally. I've been banging my head against a wall, and thank you. And that's really, really rewarding. So I think that's definitely a space to explore. I've thought about how I might do that either in like instructional video or maybe an ebook. And I haven't gotten any further than that in my thinking, other than I enjoy providing information and helping others in their learning.
That's great. I think I love it. Clearly, I love doing that stuff. And I anybody, you know, that gets that response, you know, the trick with that too is that, you know, you go from providing something for free and it's like, well, should I charge for this? But yet people, they want it. They want to pay you for what you're good at, you know, so there's that element to it too.
True. Very true. I haven't quite figured out how to do that without being, smarmy is not the word.
But oh my God, I use that all the time. That was, I'm not kidding. I don't want to be smarmy. I don't want to be smarmy. I love it.
But yeah, I've kind of built this little mini audience of people who trust me as an information source, and I want to be careful not to misuse that. So if there's an opportunity to, like right now, I do affiliate marketing, and I mean, I'm not going to retire in Malibu off of it or anything, but it pays, you know, for hosting and my premium plugins and that kind of stuff. But if I could find a way to, you know, to monetize or leverage the information that I'm putting out there, I think that would be an interesting experiment.
Okay. So lastly, what is something fun you'd like to share about yourself that people probably don't know? I love these questions.
Well, I won't take 3 hours of your podcast to share nonsensical details, but I'm kind of a goofball, so there's all kinds of weird stories. But one that is probably not known is in high school, I performed at Disney World. My high school choir had won some state awards for several years in a row, and I don't even know if we were invited, or I'm not sure what that process was. But anyhow, we ended up flying out to Orlando, and the way there are about 100 or so of us in the choir, and if we were all on the stands, I was the last one off the stands, and so therefore the first one to walk onto the stands. you see where this is going. So here we are, you know, my world debut at Disney World, and I'm leading this line of 100 high school students, and I lead us in the wrong direction. So, you know, in the scheme of things, it didn't hurt my career, and probably no one else remembers that but me. But I remember my terrific embarrassment at just leading an army in the totally wrong direction. So there you have it.
You know what's funny about that? That was everybody followed, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a statement about the culture there. Like, no one was like, you're going the wrong way. We need to go this way.
We were marching ants in a little bit of an offbeat pattern.
Oh my God, that's great. Thank you so much, Carrie. This has been a blast. I'm glad we finally got to talk.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate your time and appreciate what you're doing with the podcast. You're putting some great information out there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So everybody, I will have all of the links and show notes. You can get those on the site. They'll all be linked in there. Make sure to check out Carrie's site. Connect with her on social media. I'll put those links in there as well. So thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day.